as we have been doing on a weekly basis on Thursday mornings in this time frame. We've been getting our local COVID updates, and I don't know exactly how we managed to get both Julie Gibbs and Bob Koppel on the phone, but good morning, Bob. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning, Dave.
Well, we have no shortage of things to talk about. So Julie, we're going to start with you, and we talked a little bit about some of the numbers, and we had this in the story earlier this morning that came off the news release. Let's first start talking about some of the COVID numbers that you're seeing in Riley County, Julie Gibbs.
Sure. We are currently monitoring 121 active cases. We've had a total of 70 new cases and 74 new recoveries since last week. Our percent positive continues to trend down, as last week we were at 4.82%, and the week prior we were at 5.5%. That gives us a 14-day average percent positive of 5.15%. We have had 115 breakthrough cases that we've identified so far and 22 reinfections so far.
Okay. Bob, let's talk about hospital capacity. I know that you've been rather rather busy.
Yeah, so kind of a couple things happening, Dave. One, we actually start this morning with 9 positives. 7 of those are up on the medical unit, and 2 of those are in ICU. And we actually have another person in ICU who's still on a ventilator, but they've been with us so long that they're no longer considered COVID positive. So they're out of precautions, but they're actually here originally because of COVID. So arguably 10 folks. Yeah, we just have had just a lot of patients. And I know everybody's always been watching for staffing capability, whatever. A couple times over the last week or so, we've had the intersection of actually running out of physical beds. And so as recently as yesterday, we were down to just a couple of empty beds on our third floor.
Goodness
so,
gracious.
We have actually have had good luck with staffing and getting people to work extra shifts. We've got travelers here, but we're actually running out of physical space some days as well.
Have you had to transfer any patients to other facilities?
Well, so, of course, we do that fairly routinely, or try to anyway, you know, just because we don't have a service or capability here. I think it's a little telling. We are actually now taking transfers. For example, over the weekend, we took a transfer from one of the hospitals in Topeka, because that patient needed an ICU bed, and they did not have one in Topeka, so we actually took the transfer. And that's not usually the direction that things are going. It is very difficult to move patients, specifically if they have some sort of neurological, cardiac, those kinds of issues, just because everybody is kind of stacked up. And a lot of the larger hospitals are now going on diversion parts of every day. And so you just have to hold people until you can get them in.
Julie, we had earlier this morning a story about the vaccination rates here in Riley County and also with Pottawatomie County. And I was surprised that the vaccination rate in Riley County was one of the lowest in the state of Kansas.
Yeah, so if you're referring to the county rankings that just came out yesterday, our numbers are looking lower. We did have a webinar with KDHE yesterday. They did explain that those numbers are actually taken from the CDC. They're very different from the numbers that were originally on the KDHE website, and I might just describe exactly what you're seeing there. So with the county health rankings, those are actually CDC numbers. There's still a lot of reconciliation that needs to be done with those numbers. It was explained to us yesterday that those are coming from the WebIV numbers. However, if there's some fields missing in the WebIV entries, they just are counted as null, so they won't count toward our percent positive. So there's a lot of cleanup that needs to be done with those numbers. So we may not be as low as what we as what it shows on our county rankings. They're still showing through KDHE WebIV that 47% of the Riley County residents who are eligible are fully vaccinated. That number may be off a little bit, too, because in that webinar yesterday, they did explain there might be some duplicates that they're still trying to go through in the WebIV system. So it's a bit discrepancy between the CDC numbers and the KDHE website numbers, but we're somewhere between 35 and 47% of fully vaccinated individuals.
A lot of room for growth, though, isn't there?
Oh, yeah.
Bob, let's talk a bit about the news that came out, a couple of days ago about the Pfizer vaccine finally getting FDA approval. And you indicated to me in our pre-discussion before we went on the air that you anticipate the Moderna vaccine getting FDA approval is probably not too far down the road either. Can you bring us up to date on what you're hearing there?
Sure. So, you know, obviously there's just a huge process of filing their request for the approval, and along with that, all of the data that they've been collecting from all these patients for the last, in the case of the clinical trial patients, now about 15 months. And then those vaccinated this year, starting back in December and January. So Moderna's kind of their data and paperwork is about 4 weeks behind Pfizer's. And so we would anticipate that, assuming all of that is, you know, appropriately put together and done, that they would get their approval too here within the next few weeks, which is good. It's good to have both of them approved. And that will, you know, hopefully allay some people's fears about taking a medication that's the emergency use authorization.
Okay. Brandon?
This question for Julie. I know school officials are struggling right now to manage close contacts of individuals who may have been exposed to someone with the coronavirus, and we want to keep everyone safe and balance that with keeping kids in class as much as possible. What advice would you give maybe to educational staff, and how much of a role do masks play in whether or not a child has to enter a quarantine?
Yeah, so we've been in constant communication with all of our school districts in the area, and we actually had a Zoom before school started so that we could get everyone on the same page as far as what our guidance is as far as quarantine and isolation guidance as well. We just really highly recommend, of course, everyone wear a mask. We know that USC 383 does have a mask mandate in place, but we highly encourage everyone to wear a mask when you're in school settings, especially. That really helps to keep everyone safe. You know, last semester we had a great semester because of our mask. So we highly encourage everyone to wear a mask. And, you know, we've talked to the school districts about, you know, keeping track of where the kids are sitting. That really helps us when we have to do contact tracing. So keeping track of where everyone's sitting, try to maintain that distance as much as you can. And again, just your usual things like hand hygiene and good practices. And certainly, if you're feeling any type of illness, we highly encourage you to stay home and get tested right away.
Is it possible we might see COVID testing on site at schools at some point, do you think?
Absolutely. Yep. We're working with USC 383 to get that in place right now.
Okay.
And Julie, one of the other things that we've seen popped up, especially with Wamego and Rock Creek schools, is some quarantine classrooms. Do you have some perspective on that?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, we've already seen quite a few people that have been quarantined. Not so much here in our county, which is great. But yeah, in other surrounding counties, we've heard a lot of individuals being quarantined. Our guidance is a little different when both parties are masked. So we just want to put that out there. You know, it really helps when both, you know, close contacts are masked. That really helps to keep them safe and can try to keep that quarantine a little bit shorter.
Well, do you have some continued contact with all the school districts within Riley County as to what they are seeing, any activities there?
Yeah, like I said, we're in constant communication with them. We actually have one of our contact tracers who is designated as a liaison for our schools, and so that's her job full-time, and so far it's working well.
Brandon?
I don't think I have anything else here. I just, you know, I know it's tough navigating right now. I think the numbers have been about as high as they've been for a while.
Bob, let's talk a little bit about your perspective on, you know, the potential for increased numbers of vaccinations with now the FDA approval for the Pfizer vaccine and Moderna down the road. Do you think that that's going to help boost people's thoughts about getting the vaccine?
So we would certainly hope so. I think that's important, obviously. And, you know, our three-county area here, Gary, Pottawatomie, and Riley, we do have some challenges with the low percentage of folks who are vaccinated. And we're definitely seeing that show up now with folks who are not vaccinated, who are outpatient COVID patients, and that's a lot of them. We do have kids, and especially, I'm over in Wamego quite a bit at the hospital there. So I get an opportunity to talk to staff who are parents of kids in those school districts. And I think the number of positives is actually growing daily. So just again would encourage people to, if they don't have a masking requirement, to reconsider that and make sure that we're following our other mitigation practices that we know are successful.
And Julie, I've noticed just going to the grocery store, more and more people are wearing masks again, and sounds like that is a proper approach for many, and a lot of this obviously is a comfort level, isn't it?
Oh yeah, I think so, and rightfully so. You know, according to CDC guidance, which we're following, we're still considered a high risk area, so we still encourage, according to CDC guidance, to have individuals wear masks, whether you're vaccinated or not vaccinated, especially in public places or in places where it could be really crowded. We're seeing a lot more businesses, you know, put up signs that they are requiring masks now. And I think it's a good decision for your business, especially if you're a business that sees a lot of people and could be very crowded at times.
Well, we are fortunate to have both Bob Koppel and Julie Gibbs on the phone with us this morning, bringing us up to date on local efforts against the coronavirus. Now, who's got the short straw for next week? Have you figured that out yet?
I think it's me.
I think that's Julie. So.
Okay. All right. Bob, see you in a couple, all right?
Yep, that works.
Julie,
thank
talk
you
to you next week. Appreciate the work both
all right,
of you
thank
do.
Thank you.
Bob Koppel, Essentia Via Christi Hospital, and Julie Gibbs, Riley County Health Department Director, joining us on the phone here this morning on News Radio KMAN.